Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. I am Rob West. That passage in Deuteronomy 8 goes on to read, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. First up, I'll talk about why we should always thank God for our ability to earn a living. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, surveys show that a majority of Americans are consistently unhappy with their jobs. Last year, we talked a lot about the Great Resignation and how more workers were leaving their jobs than ever before, hoping to find something better. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We should always try to improve our job skills and take on new challenges. That will be especially important if or when we go into a recession. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to earn more as long as the goal isn't just to have more money. But along the way, you have to remain grateful for the job you have. We often forget that God gave us our jobs in the first place. Grasping that is the key to changing your whole attitude about the workplace. The Bible clearly shows that God ordained work, even before the fall. In the very first chapter of Genesis, he commands Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And even after the fall, God gives us instructions about work. In Exodus 20, God says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. When you feel yourself wanting to grumble about work, remember that God isn't some hard taskmaster ordering us to work. Rather, he's our great provider. You might think your resume or work experience got you hired, but ultimately, God provided your job. Everything in the universe happens according to his sovereign will. So we never want to be ungrateful for what the Lord has provided. And by the way, being grateful on the job provides an excellent opportunity to point others toward Christ. When everyone else is grumbling and you're going about your duties faithfully and cheerfully without gossiping about the boss or grousing about the workload, you're providing an excellent witness for Christ. Now, how do you rearrange your thinking if you're not happy on the job? Well, first, it's helpful to stop and think about what exactly you do on your job. Look for the meaning in it, even if you think it's mundane. All honest work is honorable in God's eyes. It's easy to miss this, but the things you do on the job almost certainly make someone else's life better by providing a product or service. You're helping to solve someone else's problem and make their life better. That's certainly one reason why God ordained work, to make the world a better place. So take some satisfaction in that, just not the credit. Remember, Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. You'll sometimes hear the expression, managing expectations. It's something we should practice on the job. It means not promising others what you can't deliver. But it applies to our own thinking as well. Business, by nature, is competitive. Companies have to keep costs down so the final product or service is marketable. Don't expect your company to provide a Cadillac health plan, free daycare, and foosball in the break room. If you don't expect too much, you won't be disappointed. Keep this in mind, too. If you're grumbling about problems all the time, you become one of them. So instead of complaining, look for solutions instead. Look at every problem as an opportunity to improve things. Trying to come up with a solution gives you a chance to learn something and possibly become a more productive worker. Suggest alternative ways to do things. Management might not act on your ideas, but at least the boss knows you're trying to help. Now, what if you're already doing those things and you know and act as though God is your true boss and you still feel dissatisfied with your job? Well, the Bible doesn't say you have to stay in the same job forever. It could well be that God is leading you to something else. Just remember that changing jobs or careers can be stressful. You'll have a new boss, new coworkers, and usually new duties. And make no mistake, finding a new job won't help if you carry the same negative thinking into it. So, first, put into practice the things we've been talking about, and then, with much thoughtful prayer and consideration, ask the Lord for guidance. He may have a new opportunity for you, another place where you can be a grateful worker. And with two jobs available for every worker these days, well, there's a good chance there is something waiting out there just for you. Hey, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If we're honest, it can be tough to walk by faith and not by sight. The things that we see can be so heavy. King David could sympathize. As a young man, he faced a big foe, threatened to crush the people of Israel. If he walked by sight at that moment, he may have started fleeing in despair. But what did David do instead? Facing Goliath, David trusted in the Lord. We hear David say in 1 Samuel 17, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel." There is much to be afraid of, but remember, the God of the armies of Israel will be your defender. Let us walk by faith with our great God. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com. Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling, and he says,
"We've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspelled words."
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now on anything financial. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000 with whatever you're thinking about today, financially speaking. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Iowa today. Hi, Lori. Go right ahead.
Hi, I have a question about digital currency, which I believe is going to come into effect. I'm 76. I work full time. I have a small pension of about $30,000. I have no debt except for a mortgage. I was wondering, how could I be a good steward of that money, even though I think the government's going to take it over?
Yeah. All right. Let's unpack this a bit. I mean, first of all, the most important thing you can do as a steward of God's money is manage your own economy, right? So you and I are charged with being money managers of the King of Kings resources. Everything we receive from your employer, the government, you name it, it's all God's in the first place, and he's entrusted it to us. Our job, then, is to be found faithful as managers. I love what you're describing here as you're living completely debt-free except for your home. It sounds like you've got a good spending plan and a handle on your lifestyle, and you're living, allocating God's resources as he leads. That's a great thing. That's the most important piece, living within your means, avoiding debt, setting long-term goals, having some margin in your financial life, a bit excess beyond your expenses, and then ultimately giving generously because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. Now, we operate inside of the larger context of our economy and banking system and, yes, the United States government, which is controlling the money supply and interest rates. And, yes, we're exploring a digital currency. Where is that? Well, it's still a long way off. What you may have been hearing about that's going live July 1 is what's called FedNow, which is just a payment processing service that's going to be available 24/7. Right now, if you want to make an electronic transaction or payment through one of the payment services that are out there, it will not happen on the weekends. And FedNow is going to alleviate that and allow that commerce to continue 24/7, even on the weekends. So there's an opportunity there, to use that, but you don't have to. And that's not the central bank digital currency that we've been hearing about, which basically is, a digital dollar, if you will. I'm not a fan of it, and a lot of members of Congress and governors that have already started to step into this, including Florida, are not either. And for good reason, because it would mean a loss of privacy. It would give the United States government a level of control over all of our transactions, certainly a lot of visibility into our transactions that is just not healthy. And they could actually implement social controls over how commerce is conducted. However, coinage is a congressional function, and it would have to work its way through Congress and ultimately the president to ever see the light of day, and it's likely years away. It's nothing more than a series of white papers at this point, and China is still in a beta on a digital currency, and they started back in 2016. So, as you can tell, these things don't happen quickly, and there's already been a lot of congressional leaders that have said, we're not on board with this. And the state of Florida said digital currencies, the CBDC, doesn't comply with our Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC, in the state of Florida. So you've already got states getting out ahead of it. All that to say, it's a long way off, and we'd certainly need to watch it. We need to show up and vote for those leaders that understand limited government and the role of government. But we don't have to be thinking about that right now. So I think the best thing for you to do, Lori, is just to continue on the track that you're on, managing God's money wisely, limiting your debt, living within your means, giving generously, saving for the future. There's not a reason to exit the banking system or the stock market, in my view. Because we still have the largest and strongest economy in the world here in the United States. As a reserve currency, the U.S. dollar is by far the only option today. There's not anyone even close in second place. And so for that reason, even though we have our challenges, I think anything that we could see that would be really significant that would cause us to even question just the viability of the U.S. economy is way down the road, something I don't think we need to be concerned with today. That's my view, but give me your thoughts on all that.
I want to be a good steward. I tithe and I'll try to be generous with my money that God's provided for me. I'm very grateful to have a job at my age and to be able to do it. I just didn't want to do anything rash. Or my son told me, I said, well, maybe I should pay off my house. And he said, don't do that, because with digital currency, if you pay it off, but then you don't have any money for your taxes, you're going to lose it anyway. And I just, I'm a widow. I don't know a whole lot about finances and stuff. Sure. I just try to be frugal and use common sense, you know.
Yeah.
So
no, that makes sense. But here is my take on that. I mean, I think you're making great decisions, number one. Number two, I would pursue becoming completely debt-free, including your home. I think that could would be a great decision for you, would allow you to own your home outright, free and clear, and take that largest expense out of your budget, so long as you're not depleting all of your cash reserves. But if you were to still have 3 to 6 months' expenses liquid, you were to have enough income through your annuity and Social Security and whatever else you have to cover your bills, I like the idea of you being completely out of debt. I think that makes a lot of sense, and that doesn't put you any more susceptible to anybody taking anything from you, in my view.
Oh, well, it would take everything that I had to pay the house off.
Okay, so you would have no more liquid assets?
No.
Okay.
No, none.
So that then I wouldn't support that, because I you need some flexibility and some margin. That's why we recommend 3 to 6 months living expenses as your emergency fund. The unexpected will come. And although I want you to be debt free, I don't want you to be without anything to have any flexibility, because now if something comes out of left field unexpected, medically or at the home or whatever it might be, all of a sudden you're now having to put things on credit cards. And that's going to be a spiral to take you into a really bad place financially. So I would say if you can cover that mortgage, let's keep your liquidity emergency fund in place so you've got that flexibility, and let's just continue on the current track that you're on to try to pay it off over time out of current cash flow, certainly not depleting all of your liquid reserves, though.
So much.
All right, Lori, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the broadcast. God bless you. 800-525-7000. Some great questions coming up. It looks like we have one or two lines open. We're going to head to our first break here in just a moment. So Carrie, Diane, Kathy, we'd like to ask that you just stay right there and hold the line. We will get to you just around the corner. A quick email. This comes from Adeline. Adeline writes, I listen to the program often. I love it. I've learned a lot. I'm not on the path to saving money. Unfortunately, I'm in debt. I heard you recommend a debt consolidation program. Can you give me more information? I'm struggling to pay back $12,000 on my credit cards. Let me just clarify, Adeline, we don't recommend debt consolidation, which is where you replace credit card debt with a new loan, hoping to get the interest rate down. That often doesn't lead to solving the underlying problem, and so then you end up with the consolidation loan plus the credit card debt. My preference is debt management. That's where you get the interest rates lowered, but the debt stays right where it is, and you pay through a credit counseling agency. My suggestion, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Godly folks that'll serve you well in this area of debt management. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, looking to the counsel of Scripture, the big ideas and themes, starting with God owning it all, that we're stewards and money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So we want to hold it loosely, give it generously, and live appropriately. We want to help you do that on this program each day, offering you hope and encouragement to pursue peace of mind and contentment, ultimately joy and intimacy with the Lord as we manage His money according to His wisdom. Let's go back to the phones. To Texas we go next. Hi, Diane. Thank you for calling and for your patience today. How can I help?
Good morning. Well, we received something in the mail. My husband thinks that we ought to look into it. It's from American Express, that we could have a savings account with them. We already have an American Express card that we use for gasoline each month, and then I pay that off.
Okay.
And he just thought that it's paying 4%, I guess, a month. I don't know how that works. That maybe we would do better to put our little savings account, which isn't very much, but it's making, I think, 2.5, I think, maybe that much, maybe not even that much. But I just wanted to make sure that this would be a safe way to put our savings, and we try not to touch it unless we have an emergency.
Sure, yeah. That makes sense. Well, here's the thing. I like, Diane, taking advantage of high-yield savings, especially now. You know, it's been so long since we had decent interest rates available, and now you can actually get a decent interest rate for a completely liquid FDIC-insured high-yield savings account. You mentioned one with Amex. There are others, and 4% plus is very common these days among the online banks and those that really are focused on delivering high yields. So I think that's a great option. You could link it electronically to your primary checking account where you pay your bills from, and then if you need the money, it's not there too readily available, but you can, you know, move it in as needed within 24 to 48 hours, usually fee-free. So I think that's a great option. The only thing I would throw out is if you wanted an institution that shared your values, you could look at something like Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. But if you really are just trying to target the most, the highest interest rate possible, the one you mentioned or others that you could look up at bankrate.com would be great options. And I'm completely on board with you all trying to maximize the interest on this savings. Even if you get an extra $25 or $50 a year, that's great. You can put that to work.
Okay, I appreciate it. God bless you, and you have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Diane. We appreciate that. God bless you as well. To North Dakota, hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling in regards to whole life insurance policies. About 5 years ago, I took out two whole life policies. I paid one, $100,000, paid it. The other one, I'm paying $10,000 per year. The reason was basically to be never taxed. For my beneficiaries, they would get this money and it would be tax-free. Each year, I'm not sure if this is... Can you give me some ideas on this? I don't know if whole life insurance is a way... It was used for investment, and most of what I hear, life insurance is not a good investment.
Right, right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And you're really not going to have any taxes on anything that they inherit. The estate would be responsible for the estate taxes, and currently you don't have estate taxes unless your estate's over $12 million. So you really don't have to worry about an estate or an inheritance tax unless you have a really large estate. So if you were to, you know, pass on stocks and bonds, saving outside of a life insurance policy, they would get what's called a stepped up basis, which just means that the original cost basis on those assets is stepped up to the date of death. So if they turn around and sell them, there's no capital gains tax due, and there's no, again, inheritance tax of any kind. Any tax that would be required but probably doesn't apply would be paid by the estate prior to the transfer. So, you know, I would agree with you. I don't like using life insurance for my investments and long-term savings. I'd rather keep my life insurance for the specific purpose that I need it, and that is the death benefit, and then keep my investments and long-term savings separate, where I get unlimited growth potential and I don't have the complexity and fees and loss of access to my capital that comes through cash value whole life insurance. With term insurance, though, it's pure insurance, so it's much more cost-effective, which allows you to get the coverage you need. But the idea is you would only keep it as 10 or 20 or 30 year term policies, keep renewing it. But once you get to retirement, you would drop it because you don't need it anymore. Ideally, you've been saving throughout your working years. Now you've accumulated enough in the way of assets, plus Social Security and other retirement assets. You're set. So if you're married and one spouse goes home to be with the Lord, the other doesn't have any additional hardship because there's not a loss of income there. You all are relying on retirement assets at that point, and therefore life insurance is no longer necessary. So at the point when it becomes really expensive, you don't need it anymore. And that's one of the downsides to the whole life insurance that you've got, is that mortality expense inside the policy is going to get more and more expensive over time. And the investments that are inside it, you're not going to get typically the full upside on those. You're going to get a portion of it. And you just don't have access to your money, which who knows what could happen down the road where you all need some of this money prior to death and passing it on as an inheritance. So my preference would be that you separate the investments and the insurance for the reasons that I mentioned. But give me your thoughts on that.
Okay. Yes, I agree with you. And the thing is, now that I'm in these, the $100,000 that's already paid up, can I just buy that back? Do I get?
Yeah.
Can I get out of these?
Yeah, you would want to contact them and just ask them what the cash value of that policy is, and they'll be able to very quickly say, you know, of all the money you put in, obviously you've overfunded it in the sense that you were paying in much more than the actual cost of the insurance, the mortality expense. So that portion should be available as a cash value. And if you cancel the policy, they'll send you a check. Make sure you check with your CPA on the tax implications of all of this. But I think your next call is to your insurance company to find out what the cash value is for you to get back. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet four courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, my experience is that one of the key ways God shapes your financial, your spiritual journey, I should say, is by your financial journey, because money issues are heart issues. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it starts with our hearts, understanding God's word, understanding our identity in Christ, rooting ourselves in the eternal perspective, not in the temporal, not getting caught up in the messages of this world. When we get that right, and then we apply God's wisdom and principles to our financial decisions, well, it's a game changer. It leads to freedom and peace and contentment and joy and ultimately a more intimate relationship with the Lord. That's what we're after here on this program every day, helping you pursue God's best in your financial life. Back to the phones we go to Texas. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thanks
I'm
for
great.
Taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a situation I hope you can give me some help with.
Okay.
Last July, I took a consolidation loan out from my bank to pay off my credit cards. And they sent the cashier's checks out to everybody. And all of them but one deposited the check just as soon as they got it. And I contacted the one account. Is it all right if I say the name of the account?
Sure.
I don't care. It was Steinmart. Steinmart had closed its store here in Tyler. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted them and I asked, why didn't you deposit the check? And they said, well, we'll just do it on when your next payment's due. So, okay, fine. I waited till the end of the month and I checked and they deposited the check. Well, the next month, I got a statement with the entire balance back on there. And so I called and I said, I paid this off. You had it zeroed out. Why is it back on there? Well, we found that that money was put to your account by error. It belongs to somebody else. So I have been all of this time trying to get them to put the money back onto my account. I have showed them that they deposited the check. It had my name and my husband's name, which his name wasn't even on the account, but we both took the loan out, had our name on it, put the account number on there, and they keep saying we didn't pay the account off. So in the meantime, I had another account that I paid off, which this has rocked on through February. Well, they I kept that account open. I didn't close the account because if I needed something, I would get it and then pay it off right away. But they took all my credit away, said I didn't have any, I wasn't a good credit risk. And I contacted them. I said, why? Well, it was due to a report that they got from TransUnion. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I looked, and it was the Steinmart account. It's the same bank.
Yes.
And now I have another one. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And
is it Synchrony?
They will not.
Is it Synchrony Bank?
Yes, it's Synchrony Bank.
Yeah, yeah. They handle the Steinmart accounts.
And I can,
well, I
I
think
cannot
the,
get them.
Yeah, I think the next step is to provide the documentation, and it sounds like you have already started down this road. But you know, obviously, the bank can show where you made the withdrawal to get the cashier's check, and then we can show where that was deposited because the bank can show that the funds left, and you know, provide all the documentation that this was in fact your check and that it was in fact applied to the right account, and they need to remedy the situation. You're going to need to escalate this to okay, and what are they saying?
Why my bank says now that it's not their responsibility because it's been so long. If it was the wrong account number,
right,
they should have contacted them.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to get them necessarily to reverse it. We just need to make sure that Synchrony, you get to the right person so that you can show the documentation that this was, in fact, your cashier's check that was appropriately applied to your account and that it shouldn't have been reversed. Once all of this is rectified, we can get the credit report cleared up because that will be inaccurate. It's being reported based on this erroneous information that you haven't paid your bill when in fact you have. So once this is all resolved with Synchrony, then you'll go to all three bureaus, pull a copy of your credit report, and then dispute that information showing you were late or delinquent, and they'll have to go verify it with Synchrony. When they do, then they'll update it. So that will take care of itself. What you need to focus on right now is escalating this to the right department of somebody that will take the time to dig into this with you and look at the documentation you have showing the fact that this was, in fact, your funds coming to them by cashier's check and making sure that it's applied appropriately. They do this every day, but you need to get to the person who will take this on for you because, you know, it's going to take a little bit of work on their part. So you have all the documentation. Is that correct?
Copy of the canceled check.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know who else to turn to.
Well, you need to call customer service and tell them to. You need to call customer service and tell them to escalate it to another department because the check that you sent, which you have proof of, was misapplied. It was not applied appropriately, and you need to talk to somebody who can rectify this. And you need to keep working at it until you get to somebody who can handle this for you. You don't want to deal with this at the bank level right now. You don't want to deal with your credit report right now. Let's focus on Synchrony applying these funds correctly, which they have not done. So get back on the phone. Let's get this to the right department, and we'll pray that God gives you favor and wisdom as you navigate it. I know it's frustrating, Linda, but don't lose heart. You will get this resolved, and you've got the information. You paid it the way you should have. They just made a mistake. They do it all the time, and they should fix it for you, but you got to get to the right person who's willing to work with you. Thanks for calling today. Listen, all the best to you, and let us know how this one turns out. We appreciate you being on the program. To Arkansas. Hi, Shirley. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. You are so intelligent. I've called before,
sweet.
And I am so impressed with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
I don't know much about this, but my son suggested that I have money in Vanguard, and it wasn't doing anything. So I have the Vanguard short-term bond index. Mm-hmm. Admiral, is it Admiral CL?
Yep.
Right mm-hmm. now, that's where I have. I don't have any bills. I just have about $50,000 in Vanguard short-term fund.
Okay. All right.
Fund. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think we need to look at your overall investment strategy. I understand that it hasn't done well, and no bonds have really over the last year. Unfortunately, they kind of got hit with a double whammy where, you know, stocks were going down, which usually means bonds are going up. The problem is interest rates were rising so fast that as the rates go up, the interest rates go up by the Federal Reserve, the bond prices fall with it. And so you were losing money on the bonds as the interest rates were climbing through those Admiral shares. It will come back. This is actually going to be a good year for bonds moving forward. I think the only question is, are you in the right funds? If you wanted a second opinion, you could reach out to our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. But the bottom line is, Shirley, it's been a tough environment for bonds. This next year and couple of years following should be a lot better. So you can either stay put or contact soundmindinvesting.org. We'll be right back.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000, taking your calls and questions today. Hey, let me remind you, you know, our heart here at FaithFi for this radio broadcast is to equip you as a steward of God's resources. We think you have an incredibly high calling. In fact, we know it because God owns everything and you're His money manager. And it's so incredible to watch as God works, as we share His wisdom, not mine, not anyone else's, God's wisdom from the Bible, so you can apply that to your financial lives, starting with your heart and your perspective and ultimately leading to the practical decisions and choices that you're making. And when that happens, incredible things take place. In fact, listen to this listener testimony that we heard just a short time ago.
I just wanted to give a brief testimony of what the Lord has done in my life through the Your ministry. I had brain surgery a few years ago, and I was practically bankrupt. I couldn't work anymore. So I was left with a big problem with the debt that I have to the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And by following the principle that I learned through Your program, I was able to pay all of my debt. The Lord miraculously, totally changed my situation.
Isn't that the way the Lord works? Miraculously, totally changing our situation. That's what we're after here at Faith and Finance each day. And let me invite you to be a financial supporter of this ministry. It's a critical time for us as we head toward our fiscal year end, June the 30th, just 8 days from now. We'll finish our ministry year out, and you can help us close the gap of just over $40,000 that is our budgeted amount that is scheduled to come in from listeners like you over the next several days. And if you would play a part in helping us close that gap with any amount, we'd certainly be grateful. And you can help others just like that testimony you heard pursue God's best and have a total miraculous transformation as they submit to God's purposes. You can give online quickly and securely at faithfi.com. Just click give. Any amount, and we mean that, would help us close out our year and finish strong between now and June the 30th. Faithfi.com. Click give. That's faithfi.com. And thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones as we round out the broadcast today. We've got several minutes left. We'll get to as many calls as we can. To Mississippi. Hi, Glenn. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling to let the one previous caller know that there are other resources out there. If you're having trouble with such as your credit card company honoring your bank check or whatever is going on there, if you have all that information in a row, I mean, you have those papers documented, everything. I've called my state attorney's office here in Mississippi, you know, for help with my phone account when I was in the right and there was a wrong happening. And when I called and I said, can you help me? There's people out there that love to help people with that attitude, and they helped me with that. I've had my U.S. senator from Mississippi actually help me when I approached them with that. Can you help me? You know, and it was with another government agency, but there was someone who helped me out there, and both resulted in what was right being ultimately done and accomplished. So I just want to throw that out there that, you know, if somebody like that previous caller is having issues and they feel they're desperate and there's no other resources out there, there's actually some resources out there, elected officials and then non-elected officials. So, and
all right.
I don't know, with me. There you go. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great advice, Glenn. I always appreciate listeners who have additional thoughts, and that's certainly a good one. We need to take advantage of all of the resources available to us if we're having trouble getting things done, especially when we've got all the information to back it up. So thanks for calling today. We appreciate that. To Texas. Hey, Rodney, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I have a question for you. I actually got an email from you guys about this conventional investing thing called city funds, where you can invest through in various cities that you want to invest in. And they list Dallas, Austin, Miami, and Tampa. And it's basically the idea is to own a piece of your favorite city. I wanted to know what your opinion was of that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been an email from us because we don't get involved in that. I am familiar with the concept, essentially, where you would invest in a portfolio of residential real estate through what they call city funds, which allows you to pick kind of the city that you've you're investing in. I have very limited experience with these. You know, I like real estate a lot. I like pooled investments where you're diversified and sharing your risk. The one that's the most popular, I believe, is called NADA, NADA, and they're basically a fintech company allowing you to pool your resources and invest in individual cities. The ratings that I've looked at are fairly good, but I've not got any personal experience with these. And again, this didn't come from us in any way, so we wouldn't be able to endorse it or recommend it. So I would just say simply, I like real estate. I like sharing the risk in a pooled investment so you can be more properly diversified. I don't think the housing market's going down anytime soon. It will soften, but we still have a shortage of homes in this country, and especially if you're going into some of the hotter markets like Austin and Nashville and, you know, a lot of the places in Florida, you know, real estate is just booming in certain pockets of the country, and it's strong everywhere else. I like that idea, but I would do a lot of research because, unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to endorse any particular company in this approach. Thanks for your call, Rodney. We appreciate it. To North Carolina. Hi, Angela. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have a question. I have a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA.
and I have an annuity which I am thinking of surrendering. And I just want to know, I was going to roll it over to my IRA. That way I would pay the taxes. I just want an understanding of how the IRA works.
Yeah. So are you wondering about rolling it to your traditional IRA and then converting it to your Roth, or what were you thinking?
Well, just letting it stay in the traditional.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so financial products set up with pre-tax dollars, which would include most annuities, can be rolled over to a traditional IRA. Now, non-qualified annuities, meaning it was set up with after-tax dollars, cannot. So you would just have to confirm that. But if it was set up with pre-tax dollars, then you could absolutely roll it to your IRA. You'd have to check with the insurance company to see what kind of penalties or transaction costs there might be. But essentially, once it was rolled out into your IRA, that would not be a taxable event. And at that point, then you could invest it with whatever other assets you have in the IRA. And then at whatever time you need to down the road because of a required minimum or just you're needing access to the funds, as you take it out, you'd pay tax on it as income.
When I withdraw it, that I would pay taxes.
That's correct. Yes. As it comes out, it's treated as income. It's added to your adjusted gross income for the year. Not when you roll it over, but when you withdraw it.
All right. So basically, like, for example, if I withdraw, then I would put it as wages, I guess, on my tax return.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. We appreciate you calling today, and thanks for being on the broadcast. Let's head to, before we do that, let me take just a moment and tackle another one of your emails. These come to us every week at askrob@faithfi.com, and this one comes to us from Sandra, and here's what Sandra writes. I have an item that I'm thinking about auctioning off. I searched the internet and discovered that it might be worth a lot of money. What's the next step you'd suggest to take? I don't know who to trust for advice except you. And Sandra, I appreciate you writing to us. It's difficult to say where to take the item for appraisal, not knowing what it is. You might search the internet to see if anyone else is selling a similar item to get an idea of its value. You can then list it on one of the auction sites and designate a minimum purchase. And if it sells, you'll probably get what it's worth. If not, you might have to lower your price. I don't think it's a bad idea, especially if you feel like it's, it has significant value for you to get it appraised. And I would use a respected appraiser who has a lot of positive reviews that specializes in the area of in the item in which you're selling. But taking that time to understand what the true value is so you don't miss out on maximizing that value upon sale, I think is really key. And then going with some of the more respected auctioning sites on the web would really be important. So I think just make sure you do your research there, Sandra, before you make any final decisions. Hey, thanks for writing to us. If you have a question, send it along. AskRob@faithfi.com. All right, quickly to North Carolina. Donald, we'll finish with you today. How can I help you?
Okay, good morning. Thank you for calling, taking my call. We've got kind of an unusual question here. Our daughter and son-in-law who live in Georgia have offered us a plan that we could sell our home, take the equity and put it away and do whatever we wanted to and live with them and pay very little money to them for expenses of utilities and things like that. And I also was wondering if the state laws would have an effect on the equity that I would get from the home.
No.
And I know that I would have much less expenses and be able to save much more and put into savings and investments that way.
Yes. So here's the way that would work. If you've lived in the home 2 out of the last 5 years, if you, as a married couple, you could offset up to $500,000 in gains, not the selling price, the gain on the property from your original cost basis, you can offset that from capital gains. So you'd be able to take all that proceeds up to $500,000 and put it right into whatever you want. You could put it in savings, put it in stocks and bonds, whatever you want. make a return on it and then move in with your daughter. What a blessing that would be. So, nope, you don't have to really worry about taxes on that if it's your primary residence for the two out of the last 5 years, up to $500,000 in gains. Donald, thanks for calling today. That's going to do it for us. I want to say thanks to my team today, Adam Suddeth, Robert Sutherland serving us really well today, and Pat Montague on our phones. Have a great rest of your day. And don't forget, if you'd like to support our work here, just head to faithfi.com and click give. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.